nowhere. That's what utopia means, an ideal society that can sort of be imagined but can't really exist. It's been tried. The military-enforced Peace of Rome, the so-called Pax Romana, was one version. Communist Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution was a grand experiment in a peaceful community. Follow on down to the hippie communes of the 1960s, based on peace and love, and back to the land. They all had something, a desire for a working community based on a unifying principle. Yet Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit had made it happen almost overnight, without anyone, without any human person or group even imagining such a community or coming up with a blueprint and saying, hey, let's try it, boys and girls. But what is the blueprint for that community born from above, born of the Spirit? We see images of it in the reading from Acts today. The believers were of one heart and soul. There were moments in Israel's history where they were united under God's lordship. But not since Adam looked at Eve before the fall and said, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, was there such a total unity of heart and soul. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony. Remember, it's the same apostles who kept getting it wrong, who abandoned Jesus, who were terrified. But when they spoke with power, born of the Spirit, the people completely trusted their leadership and their message because they knew it was not of human origin. And grace was upon them all. If we wanted to write the next verses of the hymn, Amazing Grace, it wouldn't stop at saving a wretch like me. It would continue on with lines about absolutely everything coming from God, and that all I think I have is for those who need it, not for my gratification and security. Probably the vow of obedience that some of our religious communities make comes closest to this. There was not one needy person among them. Most of us work at giving to the needy in some fashion or other. And you know people whose hearts just ache at the suffering in the world. In that world, greed operates freely. Which is probably why Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you. But in a world which mirrors the vision of heaven and animated by the Holy Spirit, there is not one needy person among them. Today, we know that there is a profound hunger. We can feel it. People everywhere are trying to spend more and more time with others who are more and more like them. And yet, the result is often a spreading of hatred about those who are not like them. It's a desperate attempt for community at the exact same time that the prevailing philosophy is to have your own truth, my truth, your truth. No problem. Believe what you want. No one should criticize you for that. If Jesus was trying to start such a perfect community, one could say that he failed miserably. It should have worked. All he did was to heal and lift up and reconcile. But even though he had the Spirit himself from his conception, from his baptism, the Spirit had not come on the community. And so there was division, mistrust, and hatred of him. Nicodemus was strongly attracted to Jesus, contrary to the rest of the Pharisees in the Sanhedrin. He knew there was something, but he couldn't quite get it. Even when Jesus talked of earthly things, never mind the things of heaven, even Nicodemus wasn't ready for that kind of communal spirit. Jesus' friends and disciples didn't get it after he died. They didn't say, why don't we start a community based on the principles our Lord taught us in his memory? Even after his resurrection, they didn't do that. They were excited, they were thrilled, they praised God for it, but like Nicodemus, they didn't grasp the full meaning of the resurrection, and they certainly didn't know what to do about it. Barnabas, a Levitical priest, is given to us as an example of the kind of person who has been transformed by that early Jerusalem community. He's what Nicodemus, a Pharisee, could become if he would just look up to the Spirit. Barnabas, it says, became a son of encouragement. He sold his property and laid it at the apostles' feet for the building up of the community. There was at that time a sudden and profound understanding of how everything fit together. Suddenly, all of history of Israel made sense. Suddenly, they could see where it had always been heading. Suddenly, Jesus made sense in a way that even those closest to him could never have imagined. He is alive. He is risen. The beautiful and profound piece of the puzzle of God's plan to save all of humanity had fallen into place. Now, the trick for us is that we can't create this community. We try with the philosophy of accepting everyone's truths, but instead of those millions of different truths, we have millions of people isolated. We should be able to get along, but hostility and name-calling continue to rise. Anxiety and alienation continue to wreak havoc on our young people. Many people have the right idea. Love one another. Be kind, treat people with respect, honor differences rather than ridicule. There's one thing missing, though, isn't there? It's the belief in God and his animating spirit. For us who know about the Holy Spirit and have been given the grace of the sacraments, it's not hopeless. We have the vision of heaven that came at Pentecost. Perhaps today we can allow this spirit to operate in us. In two ways. There are many ways, of course. But I suggest first is to hear the words at Mass when the priest says, "Let your spirit come down on these gifts to make them holy," as if for the first time. Second is to take the risen Christ home with us and pray earnestly for the grace to be of one heart and one soul with Christ and with those came to save.